Welcome. Thank you for coming this afternoon. As you have heard, Nancy is mic'd, and I'm going to run out and get the other one full of batteries in case this one goes out. So if I leave for a little while, come back. But if you are asking questions or offering comments, please use your outside voice so we can all hear. Unlike, I don't have an outside voice today. But welcome, Nancy. Nancy's going to talk about Wendell Berry, and we are so thrilled that you're here for the whole week with your crew.
Welcome to all of you to this session.
4 o'clock in the afternoon.
We are going to be reading some poetry together. Can you tell that this mic is on?
No, no. It doesn't seem to be.
Oh, I have to do this. Excuse me. The little green light is on, and I know they want to record this. Whoa, okay. So
you need to turn the mic so it's pointing to your mouth.
To my what?
Mouth.
Oh.
So we can actually hear you.
There, like that?
Just a little bit closer than what it was.
All right. See, the thing about this, though, I appreciate that they want... There's Chuck right there. I appreciate that this is being recorded for others, but the thing that I want to do is read together some poetry of Wendell Berry. And I don't want this to dictate some of the more interactive reading that we do. So we'll go with that and see.
We got mics up here, too.
Like these kinds of mics?
Up here.
Oh, those kinds of mics.
Just for
yeah, okay. Well, the title of my talk, well, not talk, but this today, and thank you for joining in. This is my professor at Vanderbilt with my graduate work, Dr. Sally McFaig, who is known for metaphorical theology, multiple works on eco-theology. She would say, let's do a thought experiment. And that's what today really is. I want to explore with you a process by which reading some poetry by Wendell Berry, and we'll talk about him a bit, may illumine or help us reclaim or restore or renew what are some really deep agricultural or agrarian understandings of, I would say, the Eucharist. And Rabbi Adler, who was just here, said that under Jewish holidays, you know, there is multiple layers of meaning, but all of them have at some level an agricultural connection, which may be another way of saying that we are human beings dependent and live from the soil, from the earth. We eat, we sustain each other, we sometimes destroy the soil. It is really profound for me to be here at Holden and walking out and seeing all this remediation and all this work of attempting to heal the land, the soil, and to be thinking today what it means to be human in a world where so much remediation work needs to be happening. A little bit about myself, why I'm interested in this. So I live in South Minneapolis, a little... I don't know, maybe a quarter acre, small patch. And years ago, there was arsenic and other heavy metals in multiple areas, facilities in South Minneapolis. And what we're discovering is that our soils have varying degrees of toxicity in it. And the question then is, well, what can we do about that? And a lot of us are trying to remediate, to restore the fertility, to restore the health, restore the well-being of the soil in our, where we live, our home, our place, as Wendell Berry would say. And so part of that, for me, was one day just realizing why in the world are all these people in my neighborhood raking their leaves, putting them in plastic bags, and then putting them out to be taken away. What if we or I, this is a, what has become a spiritual practice for me, I consider it, to take the leaves that, in a sense, are even the ones that blow from my neighbor's house, I let them blow across the street, and then I rake them up and all. So, but that's okay. That's more fertility for my garden. So composting, a skill, a craft, that's ancient wisdom, how to compost. And so I try to practice that. Planting fruit trees, planting plants that are that remediate the soil. There's all these struggles of how we're going to live on our land. And Wendell Berry, who is poet, an activist, writer, taught English for many years in New York, and around 30 years old, he decides to go back to the family farm in Kentucky, and shaking your head. Some of you probably know tons more than me about him. I have never met him, but I feel like I have watched lots of things about him. But he has been one of other inspirations to me in taking seriously what it means to be human, H-U-M-A-N, similar to humus, similar to humor, similar to humility. Those connect in the English language. And those of you who know your Hebrew better than me, in Genesis, the first being that is created from the soil and the breath of God is Adam Ha'adama, a living being from the soil, which maybe is sort of humorous in a way, but a humble understanding of who we are is something I think we need today. So Wendell Berry's been important to me in reading the Bible as with agrarian eyes. And again, agrarian means lives lived as wedded to the soil. Like we live from, we live, if we lose our fertility in the soil, if we lose the health of our soil, we may not survive as a species. Two programs at the church across the street from Hamline University that have been central in the collaboration of my work as director of the Wesley Center for Spirituality Service and Social Justice. The Sprout Garden is a on church land that was not being used, and some students who had read The Omnivore's Dilemma said, "We want to grow food." And in the last 10 years, then, the Sprout Garden has morphed into a collaboration between the church, their children's ministry program, their youth program, and Hamline students who are interns for the summer. And last spring, we were awarded the St. Paul Mayor's Local Gardens Award in their sustainability awards. We produced over 1,000 pounds for the Hamline Midway Elders and the Keystone Mobile Food Market, as well as to put on herbs and tomatoes and things, garlic and basil on the pizza that we bake in another collaboration, which is a community oven that my office and the church have worked together on. And in my mind, I think of this as bringing the communion table outside into the community or into the garden, bringing God or recognizing God in the garden and reconnecting this holy meal that was central to, or became central to the Christian communities in remembering the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, that actually had to do with his feeding practices. Okay? Always enough. In one version, the thousands are fed and seven baskets are picked up. And we ought to go seven. What does that mean? Pardon? Complete, in terms of like the 7 days of creation. We are complete when we are all able to eat, when there is enough. The other version, 12 baskets are picked up of fish and bread And 12 becomes a symbol. Why would that light be an important number? 12 apostles, 12 tribes of Israel. There could 12 months in a year. But this 12-ness, again, this sense of the people of God together eating. And I'm bringing the table, the Eucharist table out into the community as a kind of imaginative exercise. It's something I'm just keep coming back to. Okay? So I want to mention Holden's theme, because I want to start with a poem by Wendell Berry that may be evocative in thinking about beginning together, finding our common ground. Chuck, is that the full point? Finding our common ground?
Yeah, it's a part, but beginning together.
Beginning together is kind of the overarching, right. But we might want to say finding our common ground. Finding our common ground, where we are living on this earth, and not in an abstract sense. Each of us lives in a place, and this idea of living from the soil, I'm puzzling with as an understanding, both to envision our common life as a Christian community, but also a kind of civic democracy, a commitment to place, that this earth, this land, is central. The care of this land is first, I guess, or the care of the soil. And Wendell Berry is amazing in this way. The biblical scholar Ellen Davis at Duke, and her book Scripture, Culture, and Agriculture, Reading the Bible with, or an Agrarian Reading of the Bible. Urban farmer in Milwaukee, Will Allen, and you know his growing power, his organization. We have a spring break trip that spends a week with Will Allen in Milwaukee. And eco-theologian Timothy Everhart. Those are just some names that have been really important here. So beginning together, finding our common ground. So let's take our packet of readings, and I'd like you to find the poem, I think it's on the third page, called A Purification. So I'm going to read this the first time here.
Back of the fourth side, I guess, fourth side of the packet.
Thanks. People find it? A Purification? Okay. So I'm going to read it, and then I'd like us to just reflect quietly. Then I'm going to read it again, and then I'm going to invite you to talk with your neighbor about what might this evoke about our theme, beginning again. Okay. A Purification. At the start of spring, I open a trench in the ground. I put into it the winter's accumulation of paper, pages I do not want to read again, useless words, fragments, errors. And I put in it the contents of the outhouse, light of the sun, growth of the ground, finished with one of their journeys. To the sky, to the wind, then, and to the faithful trees, I confess my sins, that I have not been happy enough, considering my good luck. Have listened to too much noise, have been inattentive to wonders, have lusted after praise. And then upon the gathered refuse of mind and body, I close the trench, folding shut again the dark, the deathless earth. Beneath that seal, the old escapes the new. So after hearing it, now this time I'll read it again. And if you've got a pen or a pencil, you might want to circle some words that are really important or speaking to you at this time. And let's think about maybe how, it might be that they speak other than this theme, but this theme of beginning again and Wendell Berry's spring. And then when I finish, would you find a neighbor that you haven't met yet and have some conversation about beginning again and Wendell. I know, you all know each other, so we find another new person to speak with. So purification. At the start of spring, I open a trench in the ground. I put into it the winter's accumulation of paper, pages I do not want to read again, useless words, fragments, errors. And I put in it the contents of the outhouse, light of the sun, growth of the ground, finished with one of their journeys. To the sky, to the wind, then, and to the faithful trees, I confess my sins, that I have not been happy enough, considering my good luck, have listened to too much noise, have been inattentive to wonders, have lusted after praise. And then upon the gathered refuse of mind and body, I close the trench, folding shut again the dark, the deathless earth. Beneath that seal, the old escapes the new. Let's come back. What words jumped out, or let's just start with maybe words and phrases and evocative parts of the poem that you found interesting, meaningful, maybe pleasurable, maybe a bit disturbing, or
confession.
Say some more. Where did you see that?
The interaction between the refuse of my soul and the refuse that makes compost is a very interesting idea to me. That somehow, out of old leaves and last year's growth and whatnot, we can bring the earth to life. That maybe the refuse of my soul has the possibility of helping evoke new growth.
So refuse of soul and
refuse of the earth, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. I circled a couple of things here, and I see that I've skipped right over the one that really is important to me. Being happy enough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have no reason not to be happy enough. I have enough.
And that, you said you skipped over it first?
I skipped over it. Yeah.
Uh-huh. But now it's jumping out at you?
What's in between? Yeah. I guess I must have thought, well, that's obvious. I know that. But really, it's the most important thing on the page for me.
Really a deep thing. Yeah. Which is going to tap to Barry's deep value of gratitude, even for the most smallest given kind of thing. John?
We both, I guess, continue to be drawn to the phrase inattentive to wonders.
Inattentive to wonders.
And what a loss that is to be inattentive to wonders.
Inattentive to wonders. Both of you, you and Karen together.
We did know each other. Sorry about that. We didn't follow the rules.
Maybe you're getting to know each other anew. The wonder that you've been inattentive to.
There you go.
Anna.
I like the phrase deathless earth.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people choose to describe earth or soil or whatever as lifeless.
Yeah. Hmm. Where do you hear that sense of when people say lifeless, that they're like talking about earth as if just dirt,
useless, throw your garbage away in there and forget about it.
But deathless, what does that do with your imagination?
It kind of flips the script as, the earth is the immortal one.
Ooh. Say that again, earth as, or in this, very, you said earth, yeah, earth as, or earth is, the immortal one. You know what, I like what you just said, And I think this is really apropos. This is resonating, flipping the script. And Barry does that. Like he is very critical of heaven as somewhere else, and he will often talk about the wonders of a lamb being born, or in this case, the wonder that what we throw away is actually essential to our species' well-being. So flipping the script, something we throw away as just dirt or becomes something then super valuable. Yeah. Or what is heaven is not... So trying to flip the script or disturb our dualistic view of things. Yeah, and I loved over here how you hear the refuse of soul and earth, that for Barry, spiritual is natural, maybe seen in its sense of amazing wonder, mystery. So, flipping the script, thank you. Well, just a sec, we got Walker had his hand up, then we'll come over to you.
Yeah. Continuing with flipping the script, the last line, the old escapes the new.
Yeah, what is that?
And rather than we're going off and burying our past and letting the new move on without the old is being let to move on its own rather than being tied to what's in the present.
Okay, so here's a little, we've gotten into a little bit. Beginning again, beginning together. A ritual of beginning for Barry in terms of his relationship to the soil, the earth of his Kentucky farm. But not just like it's coming out of nowheres. And this sense of that everything matters in this cycle of life, and what we might consider to throw away or is invaluable or cast off is actually essential within this process of a kind of cyclical pattern or a cycle of fertility. And I keep using that term, and fertility, health, wellness, wholeness. Last session we had some questions around what is salvation. And I often think of salvation, that root word, Latin word, salvus, as whole. So what is to live the whole and holy life is something that Barry thinks about in terms of the soil, in terms of the lambs and the well-being and the corn and living amongst what he calls a membership. We are a member of an earth community. So let's see a little bit more about who he is. He's a Southern Baptist man. His wife, Tanya, of many years, plays piano at the Baptist church in their neighboring town. And he says sometimes he's a bad weather Christian. Like, he goes to church when the weather's bad. He has tended to have his Sabbath or take his Sundays as to not work in terms of agricultural work. He walks, finds a place in the fields, he goes into the forest, the trees part, and out of this comes some writings that have been called, I'll pass this around, a collection called This Day, and it's a collection of his Sabbath poems, if you'd like to see. And Friday I'm going to be reading from section year 2008 in there. That stops at 2013, and this just came out. It's his Sabbath poems called A Small Porch, and I was reading this up on the small porch of my chalet, having a beautiful view, taking in the, being attentive to the wonder of these mountains. Yeah, amazing. I'll pass that around as well if you'd like to see. But let's take the page that has a poem called A Man Born to Farming. So what's captured my imagination is not so much to be, for me, to become a farmer in southeast or southwest Minnesota, but to think about, but to recognize what it would mean to tend to the soil of where I live in a way that my well-being, I can raise, what I can eat. This year I planted borage, so that beautiful little flower, the bees are coming, the hummingbirds come. Like, we live within memberships and being attentive to who are the members. And this year the Japanese beetles were horrible on our leaves of our grapevine, on our plums. They would go on the plums, so circle around, and my son was saying, it's like it's a beetle planet. You know, you could just take the whole thing, and the birds want to eat them, and the squirrels. So there's been a lot of reflection on the neighborhood in my backyard. And I would love to talk more about that here. The Man Born to Farming. What I'd like to do with this is read it similarly. I'll read it through the first time, and then we'll have a little quiet reflection. And then maybe we'd have a volunteer for a second and a third time. And I guess this may feel repetitive. Oh, there's people up there. There you are. Someone else might want to read up there. And after the second time through, we'll do, this will be a kind of Lectio Divina, holy reading of a Wendell Berry poem, where the first time we just realize who we are before this text coming into this poem. And then the second time through, allow words to speak to us, things that catch our attention. And the third time, then we'll have some extended conversation based on that third reading. So we're trying to allow the poem to move from maybe ears to heart. Would I get two other volunteers? I saw a hand up here. And then Walker, you'd be the third one? Okay, so we'll do this. So the man born to farming. What can we learn about Wendell Berry and his relationship with the deathless earth? The man born to farming. The grower of trees, the gardener, the man born to farming, whose hands reach into the ground and sprout. To him, the soil is a divine drug. He enters into death yearly and comes back rejoicing. He has seen the light lie down in the dung heap and rise again in the corn. His thought passes along the row ends like a mole. What miraculous seed has he swallowed, that the unending sentence of his love flows out of his mouth like a vine clinging in the sunlight and like water descending in the dark.
The man born to farming. The grower of trees, the gardener, the man born to farming, whose hands reach into the ground and sprout. To him the soil is a divine drug. He enters into death yearly and comes back rejoicing. He has seen the light lie down in the dung heap and rise again in the corn. His thought passes along the row ends like a mole. What miraculous seed has he swallowed, that the unending sentence of his love flows out of his mouth like a vine clinging in the sunlight and like water descending in the dark?
So what word, or two or three words, captures your mind? Let's just popcorn that out. What captures your imagination?
To him, the soil is a divine drug.
Divine drug.
Rejoicing.
A mole.
A mole.
Unending sentence of his love.
Water descending into the dark. Or in the dark, sorry.
Water descending in the dark.
The light lie down.
The light lie down.
Hands reaching and sprouting.
What?
Could you repeat these as we're going? Oh, just because yes. It'll get taped.
Okay. There are these mics up here.
Are also picking them up?
I think so.
Okay. Well, then let's keep going. Say yours again.
The hands reaching down and sprouting.
couple.
Miraculous seed.
Walker, would you read the third time?
The man born to farming, the grower of trees, the gardener, the man born to farming, whose hands reach into the ground and sprout. To him the soil is a divine drug. He enters into death yearly and comes back rejoicing. He has seen the light lie down in the dung heap and rise again in the corn. His thought passes along the row ends like a mole. What miraculous seed has he swallowed that the unending sentence of his love flows out of his mouth, like a vine clinging in the sunlight and like water descending in the dark?
So what are we learning about Wendell Berry and maybe his spirituality, we might call it? Certainly not otherworldly in that sense. What are we learning about his?
I have a sense of him mainlining, you know, the earth.
Mainlining the earth, yeah. That divine drug.
Yeah.
Why do you think it gives him such pleasure? What seems to come out there?
The cycle of his life.
The cycle of his life, the cycle he goes through.
Yeah. New old planting and then eventually the fruit of his work.
The fruit of all his work. A lot of deep pleasure there.
He knows that he's pulling his life right out of the ground.
And putting life right back into
us. And putting life right back in. Thank you both. Great. Yeah.
Changes of what's happening with creation and the rebirth and the miracle of a new season is just spectacular.
See, that's all those metaphors, rebirth, renewal. Yeah, we often think about that as like the spiritual life as if it's, I'm not saying you do, but often how I hear that we're talking, when people say, oh, I have a spiritual hunger, I'm coming to church to be fed, and it's something verbal, it might be joyous, but still it is maybe disconnected from this larger membership, it feels to me, of the whole renewal, the cycles of the earth, the that we live. So to say the spiritual and the material are separate is a false dualism for Berry. I mean, he seems like a nature mystic, and that's okay, I want to say. Other things we want to bring forward from this poem.
I like that he starts it even with the grower of trees, the gardener, the man born to farming. It seems like it broadens that definition as like an urban conservationist, you know, when you plant trees to help your city as it regenerate. I like that broad intro because I think it allows us to really be inclusive.
That's great, because for Berry, his criticism of our society, or he might call it industrial agriculture, he might call it the military and industrial complex, consumerist society, there's lots of ways. He thinks what we are doing is just taking. And this return, this sense of return that even ourselves in our dying, our daily, or the annual, the outhouse into the ground, the bones of what we eat, like it's a this restoring to the earth, not just taking. And I just feel so intrigued by this notion that is deep down somewhere, and there's people who can articulate this much better than me, but this idea of a kind of spirituality that seems to say we get out of this world what we can or want or maybe whatever happens to us, but our future is some other world, rather than a restoring, a restoration, a restoring of the kind of abundance and the kind of health, the wholeness of this earth. So something within the natural processes, within nature. Nature as a, not just dead substrate, but as actually something living, a larger mystery. Yeah. Go ahead.
He evokes for me, and I think in a universal way, my experience with the earth, and reminds me, when he talks about the cornfield, I started thinking about cornfields in spring, cornfields in summer at full harvest time, cornfields, you know, walking through the dead shucks of corn, hunting pheasant, that smell, and, you know, the earthiness of it. And, you know, I think we all need to be reminded, I think, of that, of our experience with the earth.
How does that create meaning for you as part of that?
It helps me to
sounds understand. Like it's more than the smell and it, the
it's,
yeah.
It's a sense of my own humanity and my connectedness to the earth.
It's a commitment.
Yeah. Commitment to
the cycle.
Mm-hmm. Is that another thing you said, labor, that comes out for this poem is the importance of working with our hands, or labor, not as something to try to be to avoid or diminish. I mean, Barry plows with horses, and he plows a field. The farm is on a scale that he can do that, and certainly, and he's very critical of the kind of move we've made to such large enterprises, agricultural enterprises, that people are really more connected to the technology and the size of the debt one has to assume, and how it becomes a kind of servitude of the human to the technological, as opposed to what we do with our hands. And so therefore the kind of, I don't know what you, if you have, in the dining room there's a painting, where is it? There's a photo, maybe. It talks about, or maybe it's in the bathroom. It's a good place that I saw this, in the bathroom. Something about holding and making bread, you know, if you want to do bread and work with your hands. Is that?
Outside. Yeah, outside the bathroom. Yeah, the poster by Elizabeth Person.
And like, just that these practices with our hands can be actual sources of joy, pleasure, connection. You have pheasants that you shoot and eat.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Yes. And that whole process of dressing and serving pheasant and eating it. So knowing the whole cycle. Yeah. Let's find the page that has. I know we got a little late start today. There's a page that has some quotes by Barry. Exactly. What page do you have? Great. Yeah, there on the back page. So Barry has this book, his probably most famous book, The Unsettling of America. Would someone read that quote? Like to read the quote for us? Yeah.
The soil is the great connector of lives, the source and destination of all. It is the healer and restorer and resurrector by which disease passes into health, age into youth, death into life. Without proper care for it, we cannot have community. Because without proper care for it, we can have no life.
Does that resonate with, I see some heads shaking. This sense of deep vocation that we share together, with people around the planet of soil connects us.
So that gets back to our sin, maybe, is our sin is our separation, cut off from the earth. We don't realize that we're one with the earth. We've lost that. So he's reminding us that, you know, everything comes from and returns to the earth.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you. I mean, often, and this is not like an either or, but often I think, this is maybe what I'm saying, restoring the table of Holy Communion, that this ritual that we do together as community, sharing bread, sharing wine, remembering Jesus present with us, that this meal embodies the kind of life that he lived, this abundance, this sharing, this hospitality and generosity. It's not just between me and God as an individual, right? Or sin is something between me and God, or an individual and God, but that there is this collective acting as if and living as if we were not part of this membership. Maybe so. Cutting ourselves or thinking what we're really, it may be a kind of arrogance, it might be a kind of forgetfulness. Maybe you have some thought about that, Jim.
I think we're
Jim,
just,
right?
Yeah,
Jim.
Scared to death that we're going to die someday and go back to the earth. We don't want to think about that, so we just pretend that's not going to happen.
See, this will be a, it's not just Eucharist, it's how do you also do memorial services and funerals, and the language that we use there. I mean, I hope Esther had her views. She's not here to speak about it. She talked about, like, the soul and moving on in a kind of eternal process. I guess for me personally, I really want to be buried in soil and either a tree planted or someplace, you know, columbariums have a great, any of your churches have columbariums? You know, they've been a great kind of thing. I guess I'm happy to decay. And I guess because for me, the oneness of feeling one in this world and with God, this kind of nature mysticism, or maybe an earth sacramentalism in which the divine is, can be understood as experienced in and with and through our earth relations. I don't think that ends. And so I don't know. I guess that's where I would kind of go with that. I want to be a part of that next cycle of the future of life on the planet. It might be in a different form. I see some people leaving. I'm going to stop at 5, but I'd like to read another poem by Wendell Berry together. It's called The Mad Farmer. He calls himself a contrarian, and that's like a good, I don't know, if my 20-year-old called himself a contrarian, I'd go, oh, I know, it drives me nuts. But Berry thinks maybe we need some contrariness in our world today. People doing things differently, people not just conforming to the status quo and what the economy and the political character of our world, some contrariness. So he has this poem called Manifesto, actually a series of poems that involve something called The Mad Farmer. So Manifesto, The Mad Farmer Liberation Front. And I'm wondering if we could read this where we have different people taking a stanza. And maybe we don't plan that ahead, but we will let the Spirit move us and use our outdoor voices that Sharon is always saying, our playground voices. So, but read along, that's why I've provided this. And again, let's try to get into what is important to Wendell Berry that might be evocative to who we are in our time today, to restore a sense of well-being to the planet, to our food system, to our lives. So I'll start with the first one. And maybe, how about when you take the stanza, if you would stand, maybe that will help us kind of help the voice project as well, all right? Manifesto, the Mad Farmer Liberation Front. Love the quick profit, the annual raise, vacation with pay. Want more of everything ready-made. Be afraid to know your neighbors and to die.
And you will have a window in your head. Not even your future will be a mystery anymore. Your mind will be punched in a card and shut away in a little drawer.
When they want you to buy something, they will call you. When they want you to die for profit, they will let you know. So, friends, every day do something that won't compute. Love the Lord. Love the world. Work for nothing. Take all that you have and be poor. Love someone who does not deserve it.
Denounce the government and embrace the flag. Hope to live in that free republic for which it stands. Give your approval to all you cannot understand. Praise ignorance for what man has not encountered, he has not destroyed.
Ask the questions that have no answers. Invest in the millennium. Plant sequoias. Say that your main crop is the forest that you did not plant, that you will not live to harvest.
Say that the leaves are harvested when they have rotted into the mold. Call that profit. Prophesy such returns. Put your faith in the 2 inches of humus that will build under the trees every 1,000 years.
Listen to carrion. Put your ear close and hear the faint chattering of the songs that are to come. Expect the end of the world. Laugh. Laughter is immeasurable. Be joyful, though you have considered all the facts. So long as women do not go cheap for power, please women more than men.
Ask yourself, will this satisfy a woman satisfied to bear a child? Will this disturb the sleep of a woman near to giving birth?
Go with love to the fields, lie down in the shade, rest your head in her lap, swear allegiance to what is nighest your thoughts.
As soon as the generals and the politicos can predict the motions of your mind, lose it. Leave it as a sign to mark the false trail, the way you didn't go.
Be like the fox, who makes more tracks than necessary, some in the wrong direction. Practice resurrection.
Amen.
So, what's Barry mad about? Someone said in John Knowlton, we should be outraged. Well, Barry is outraged. What's he mad about?
Doing everything for money and for the pleasure of the immediate and not considering anything that's long-term.
Maybe a couple other people.
Maybe the Vietnam War. Published in 1973.
Is that right? Oh, wow, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
A thoughtless world?
Pardon?
A thoughtless world.
Thoughtless world.
It reminds me of a tulip festival, the whole neighborhood coming over to your backyard, which is planted in tulips, and trampling the whole thing, and eating their drinks and cookies, and going home.
Would make me mad. Okay. Let's set that down for a minute, and then a couple of, I want to show you, in this packet there is some other of his poetry that I hope you might like to find a quiet place, either in the forest by these amazing big trees, or maybe beside the still waters of a remediation pond, which actually I think would give Barry hope that we're trying to do something to restore, you know? Like, what else are we gonna do? There's also a list, I've made a list, I call them Berries Berries, B-E-R-R-I-E-S. They're sort of themes in his poems that might, Jim, I'm really appreciative of you calling out that Vietnam, the context here. Yeah, appreciate that. Yeah, those things like die for the government or die for someone else's profit there. Then there is a little section from the introduction to Timothy Eberhardt's book where he ties the wheat in a loaf of bread on the communion table to all the economic connections that have brought it and biological connections, and then some wine going all the way back to the grapes. And I think you might enjoy that as well. Some quotes, and maybe as you ponder some more and go to other sessions and find these amazing interconnections between our conversations and other presentations, that you might think of where might this connect for certainly us today? Where might congregations perhaps find a renewed sense of purpose or call or vision of being people in their neighborhoods work connecting with the health and restoration of the soil? And is this strange meal we call Eucharist, meaning what? What does Eucharist mean?
Thanksgiving,
yeah. That when we gather to give thanks, how can we expand and remember the full membership of all part of creation that is part of God's community, or earthkind, earthlings, and who are we in the midst of it? So 5 o'clock, I hope you are hungry for dinner, and thanks for listening. And I'm gonna read some more poems with anybody who wants to this Friday at 4 o'clock, maybe outside. I hope it's good weather, but maybe we can find a kind of organic kind of place here at Holden. Those of you who know what might be a good kind of place to sit and read some poems out in the woods or close by. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you.